When Mozart was 14, he wrote out the entire score to an imposing choral work, Allegri's Miserere, after hearing only a single performance. Aside from being an impressive feat of memory, for centuries this event has prompted people to wonder whether the brains of musicians are physically different from those of non-musicians. Today, researchers are beginning to gather a few clues to help answer that question. Their results suggest that to some extent, the brains of musicians do look different. This is particularly true when it comes to absolute pitch, the ability to identify a note without reference to any other note. John Greenberg has our report.
I grew up listening to my uncle, Louis Shubb, play the piano. For years, he has referred to himself as your favorite uncle with absolute pitch. He is safe on both points. He is my only uncle. And whatever the source of a sound, if a tone is pure enough, Lou can name it. Half-filled wine glasses tapped with a spoon, car horns, and doorbells.
That's G.
Let's go to the piano and check it out.
You'll have to take my word for it. The piano key was G. Lou is 85 years old, and he began his training as a concert pianist when he was 11.
I studied music for about a half year before I was able to realize that each tone had a different sound, a different color, if you will.
The ability of some people to have such a peculiar sensation of notes is what first intrigued Gottfried Schlaug, a neurologist at Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital in Boston. Schlaug has spent most of this decade mapping the brains of musicians and non-musicians. His research has zeroed in on a particular structure in the brain as the location of absolute pitch. Using magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI, Schlaug watched the brains of musicians and non-musicians as they listen to a series of tones like this.
Their task was to compare each new tone to two tones ago, and then make a decision if this new tone was same or different.
Schlaug also played another tape for his subjects, not of tones, but of the simplest forms of speech.
We had them listen to phonemes. Phonemes, for example, are ba, ta, ga, ka, which are the elemental parts of our language.
The subjects didn't need to do anything when they heard those sounds. They just had to listen. But their brains responded, and Schlaug was watching for which little fold of gray matter was activated. The structure that lit up, so to speak, was the planum temporale, a squiggly pancake of tissue that starts in the center of the brain and fans out. Schlaug saw that the planum temporale was significantly larger in musicians with absolute pitch. And when he compared how his subjects used this part of their brain when they heard the simple phonemes, he found something else.
Absolute pitch musicians show a very prominent activation in the left planum temporale when they do this tone task as well as the phoneme task, while non-absolute pitch subjects only show prominent activation in the left planum temporale when they process phonemes, but not when they process tones.
Everyone uses the planum temporale to decipher language. Schlaug's study strongly suggests that people with absolute pitch use the same equipment, even if it's a bit larger, to decipher musical notes. Schlaug also believes, although he admits he can't prove it yet, that the reason this part of the brain is bigger is that these people learn their notes at the same time that they were rapidly building their vocabulary, that is, when they were just 4 to 6 years old. Schlaug goes so far as to say that everyone has a 50-50 chance of acquiring absolute pitch if they study music when they are very young. In a different test, Schlaug found another difference between the brains of musicians and non-musicians, but again, learning music at an early age was a critical factor. For keyboard and string players who started before they turned 8, Schlaug found that the pathway between the left and right sides of their brains was as much as 15% larger. To Schlaug, the explanation is obvious. It's a question of coordination. While the pianist's right hand plays this part of a Beethoven sonata, the left hand is playing this. Different sides of the brain control each hand, The two sides must talk to each other to keep everything in sync.
This time that it takes to transfer information back and forth, to coordinate movements of left and of right hand, to make corrections that are necessary, this time is very, very critical. And it is very critical if you're performing very complicated, fast movements of single fingers, that you transfer information very, very fast and very efficient.
Schlaug's work has taken us deeper inside the brains of musicians. But how much do these structural differences help us understand Beethoven's genius or the skill and artistic power of a concert violinist?
What really is wrong is to try to divide the brain in fixed mosaics.
Oscar Marin is the former chief of neurology at Good Samaritan Hospital in Portland, Oregon. Before he became a neurologist, he was a professor of music history in Chile. His research has focused not on how people respond to individual notes, but how they respond to chords and harmony. Marin believes our brains are great devices for sorting musical notes into little organized packets. For him, specific structures matter less than the way different parts of the brain share information to create inside our heads a model of the music we hear.
My mother used to be was a concert pianist, and she had the most incredible sight reading. She was able to transfer, in other words, the visual reading into a perceptual, acoustic, internal representation of the music, and from there into motor, into the fingers, movements, that was really amazing. And I think that this is a skill. This is something that can be acquired, can be perfected, but really you have to be born with that.
And what Marin says talented musicians may be born with are a larger number of links between brain structures that we all share, although he doubts that these links can be seen. Marin thinks of them as biochemical pathways. Our knowledge of the brain is more detailed now than it ever has been. It seems likely that indeed the brains of musicians are special. But in what way, and how those differences shape how musicians create and experience music, that understanding is still a long way off. This is John Greenberg.